Welcome to Kingdom School. I'm Pastor Charlie Coker, Identity Church. I went to bed last night. My wife says, "You're teaching tomorrow. I haven't seen you study. I haven't seen you do this." I'm like, "Don't worry. God always shows up." Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jesus, for showing up.
Amen.
I'm going to share some things with you this morning. What I'm preaching on is love is the kingdom connector. And, you know, we're going to talk about kingdom school, kingdom theology, kingdom philosophy. How does the kingdom expand? And I had an interesting situation yesterday. The Lord spoke to me about a situation with somebody that I didn't know if love was going to work. And the question is, do you love her? I said, yes, I do. Does she know that? I said, after 6 years, she should know that. And he says, I just want to test you. And he checked my heart, you know. Okay, you're moving on, you know. And I'm talking about Pam Bunnell. And I love her. And so I'm doing a lot of stuff, and I moved some phone numbers around in my phone and didn't know it, but I had dialed her. And so she called me like 20 minutes later as me and Susie were driving down the road, and I was telling her that God is really checking my heart to make sure I walk in love, because that's kingdom. Mm-hmm. You can have differences of opinion. You could have what, just make sure you walk in love. And that was, yes. And I was telling my wife, I'm okay. Well, she calls. And very short conversation of, where are you at? How you doing? And she was very emphatic with me. You know I love you. I said, you know I love you too. And it just doesn't matter. Okay? And it was like, hey, whatever you figure out, whatever the kingdom is doing in you, if I can be a part of it, let's do it. That's the kingdom. And love is the connector. So the kingdom connector is love. And so I went to bed last night and had a dream. And in this dream, there was a blanket coming out of heaven. And on this big blanket was the word love. And it was covering New York all the way down the eastern seaboard, including Florida. And love was this way. And from my vantage point in this dream, this blanket, I started looking at it in detail. And I started looking at individual fibers of this blanket. Mm-hmm. And in this one fiber was Peggy and Barry Mather, who I'm connected to. I'm their papa in New York. And it's a picture of them like being this crazy couple. But all through the fabric, I saw these couples. And then I saw some men that were in covenant, not married, but covenant. And I saw these faces, you know. And the Lord, he says, I'm expanding borders and territories. And I saw as the blanket stretched that Barry and Peggy's cheek-to-cheek picture stretched individually, but they loved. And as they both loved, and love became established, they came back.
Mm-hmm. Just bigger.
And it got bigger. Okay. And so in that, I saw many people in the fabric that God is stretching. Mm-hmm. But love always, when it's established in love, you always come back to that mm-hmm. connection. So I called them this morning, and they thought I was really prophetic, and it was about them. It wasn't. It was about me. But they really needed the encouragement, and it was just really, really good. So let's talk about the kingdom. You can have nothing, yet if you have the kingdom of God, you have everything.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is Papa Jack's quote. You could have everything, but not have the kingdom, and ultimately have nothing.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
That's the kingdom.
Yes.
Without the kingdom, you have nothing. If you think you have everything and don't know the kingdom, and I'm telling you, in this next season, we will find the people who understand kingdom and the people who don't.
That's right.
If you fight for your church positions, you don't understand the kingdom.
Right.
Now, there's a responsibility to church positions, but the kingdom is the overshadowing blanket.
Right. Oh, that's good. Yeah, yeah. That's a good word.
So if you can't be flexible as the kingdom expands, which is that fiber stretching for Peggy and Barry, then you will get bent out of shape.
Right. Yeah. That's right.
Come on. The issue is that offenses will come. That's a scripture.
That's right.
Offenses will come. But offenses and being offended is two different things.
Right.
How you handle an offense determines whether you become offended. If you become offended, you won't walk in love.
That's right.
Yeah. You're really preaching.
That's good. Yeah. That's right.
I got it first. I got it first. Okay. Love is the universal connection, the eternal connection, the kingdom connection.
Yeah.
The connectivity of the kingdom is love.
Yeah.
Love is so infectious that if there's even the slightest chance that you may be open to it, God will blow the doors off to get you in your right direction.
Yes.
He will.
I'm telling you. What is the basis of your decision-making processes? Expand the kingdom in love. I laid in bed last night, and I'm really praying for my daddy is really physically hurting because of the temperature.
Oh, sure.
His bones, he's hurting.
He's hurt, yeah.
He said to me, I have now figured out why old people are grumpy and mean. I said, Dad, can you be grumpy and mean and still walk in love? He says, you got to look harder. And so I was praying for him, and I was reciting and going over some things. And my mom said to me, if you don't learn to do war with honor, you'll never be successful. Mm-hmm. But you realize you can't honor without love.
That's right.
That's right. You sure can.
Even love is the fuel to honor properly.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Mancuso said something yesterday, which I'm going to research, so I'm just going to blurt it out. People say, oh, you're not nice. Show me nice in Scripture. I'll show you kind, but Jesus wasn't nice.
Mm-hmm. No, he wasn't.
He was kind.
Yep.
And the problem is people want you to be nice to them and allow them to derail you of your purpose
rather
than to be kind and fulfill
so
your destiny.
How are you defining niceness and kindness? I mean, what's their difference?
Well, there's the commercial.
Yeah. 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 You know, see, nice is politically correct instead of being truthful.
Okay.
Nice is don't tell me anything I don't want to hear. Yeah. Nice is if you love me, you'll accept everything I say and do. Huh. No, really.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm going to be kind to you and tell you you're wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's a spirit. Political spirit that has infiltrated the church. Love is sacrificial, self-sharing, self-giving. It is the desire of the best for another, even at one's own expense.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is going to mess with you. Casual connectivity is counterfeit love.
True. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Many believe that if we come together, it is enough. It is not enough unless you connect in love.
Yes.
Everything else is temporary at best.
Mm-hmm.
Is that enough to chew on for a while?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
But give some... there's lots of relationships where we only really do have casualness and we love the best of our ability. So give some defining parameters, perhaps, for...
Every individual has three forms of relationships. If you don't have the core relationship of a love connection, then your other two connections will be weak, ineffective, and you won't expand the kingdom.
Could it be like, you know, you have lots of acquaintances, but
sure.
you only have a few good friends.
You have constituents.
Yeah.
Comrades and confidants.
That's good.
See, a confidant is a love-based relationship. If Ted is my confidant, it's a love connection that we're in this relationship. It's about us. It's about me. It's not about what I can do for him.
Right. Mm-hmm. Come on. That's good.
Okay. A constituent comes into a relationship, and love is part of it. Okay. But it's what can I do for you to help you to get to where you want to be.
Right.
Okay. And there's a lot of that, and there's times that you go in and out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But the core of it is love is a heart relationship. And see, I experienced that when I was so angry because the Lord would not allow any leader, including my father, to father me. That takes a love connection at the deepest level.
Mm-hmm.
Fathering is a love connection because the relationship is based on love. It's not based on what you can do for me.
Right.
It's based on how can I love you into the position and be who God called you to be with his identity, not mine.
Mm-hmm.
That's fathering.
There
that's a
is.
Love connection.
Yeah.
So when my father called me on the way to Houston, Texas to be a weekend with Papa Jack, this is the basics of the book I wrote. My dad said to me, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm heading to Houston." "Why?" "Papa Jack invited me to go spend the weekend. It's a big conference, and I'm just hanging out with him and all the big shots." And my dad says to me, "Wow, I am so thankful God answered my prayers and Jack came into your life. You've needed a man of his caliber."
Mm. Wow. It took love just for him to say that.
Nah, I was mad.
You were mad?
But what happened is because my father and I, he's a good dad. Here's the thing is everybody thinks I'm critical of him in the natural. In the natural, he provided well. He provided for his family. He loved us. Even when we crashed, he was there for us. But spiritually, he was an orphan. He couldn't father because he himself did not know who he was. You understand the process here.
Right.
So when I tell people that I would not write my book today, it's because I'm beyond that.
Yeah, right.
But when I wrote the book, the revelation came. My father was taking credit for my relationship with Jack Taylor, who had become a spiritual father, and I was angry. Dude, when my dad said that, this thing rose from the innermost being of my soul, and I wanted to kill him because he was taking, I said, "You prayed a mamby-pamby prayer? If you," and here's my first thought, "if you had been the man of God you're supposed to, I wouldn't have needed Jack Taylor." And I was angry.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're going to take credit for what now God has given me because you wouldn't? And I was angry. So long and short of it, the only thing Jack did for 3 years was love me.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't correct me. The only thing he told me to do was lean back. Quit leaning forward. Quit being aggressive. Quit using your gift. Just learn to lean back. That's the only advice this man gave me. And he loved me when I created problems. He loved me when I did them intentional. Because
mm-hmm.
little orphans want to know if you really love me, you'll tolerate some of my shenanigans to find out why. Dude, I created more havoc for Jack Taylor, and he loved me.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of going, "Stop it," he'd say, "Lean back." In other words, "Back up, son. Lie back up." That's all he ever said to me, and he loved me.
Mm-hmm.
And now my dad was going to take credit for that. So Jack introduces me to this whole conference as one of his spiritual sons. And when it becomes prayer time in this meeting, I look up and there's Chris Vallotton, there's Leif Hetland, there's all the big shots, and me praying for people. And I look up and there's 100 people in front of me wanting me to pray for them. The Holy Spirit says to me, "Welcome to your inheritance. This is sonship. The Father validated you publicly. Now pray with the resources of heaven."
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Man, I was excited.
Mm-hmm.
I was so excited.
Mm-hmm.
Afterwards, Jack goes, "Hey, let's look at the schedule. Tomorrow at 10, I'm ministering." I'm like, "Yeah, I'll be there." He goes, "No, I want you to go to this little breakout session and learn how to soak." I'm like, "I don't soak." Now here's a spiritual father who I'm submitted to, who has loved me, who's developing who I am, trying to teach me who I am. I want you to go soak. I'm like, Papa Jack, I bought my own, I'm thinking to myself, I bought my own airplane ticket, I bought my own hotel room, I bought my own rental car to hear you preach, and now I got to go learn to soak. Are you kidding me? And I was mad. And the Lord said to me, your father has spoken, you can mess this up, or you can learn something. And so I go to this little room, and there's people walking in with pillows and blankets. This lady had this dress. I swear it was the most, I thought it was her pajamas. Found out later it was just an ugly dress. And they did a 10-minute teaching on the presence of God and soaking. And they turned on some Indian flute pot smoking music. And I laid down to soak. This thing emerges up out of me. Why are you so angry with your father? I said, because he tried to take credit for what I have. If he hadn't been, And he showed me all these leaders. He goes, I hardened their heart and wouldn't let them father you. I go, why? He says, if I wanted to deliver Moses from Egypt, I would have done it. But I wanted to use Moses to deliver a nation from captivity. So I hardened Pharaoh's heart 10 times. He said, son, I want to use you to deliver a nation. But you got to get over your anger. My own dad? My own dad? You wouldn't let my own dad love me at a father level in the spirit? He only provided and disciplined. Now, that was a form of love. But it wasn't fathering love. Why my own dad? What about all these leaders? He says, they would have molded you into their image and not mine.
Come on. That's good.
I've actually been protecting you for this season. So do we believe God is love?
Yes.
So do we believe God tells us, go submit to this angry pastor, or be the son or the daughter of an angry father or an abusive father? Do you think God still isn't love because he allowed that to happen? Oh, don't think we don't think that. If you loved me, God, my finances would be abundant. If you loved me, God, all this, that has nothing to do with his love.
I can't remember where I heard it. Was it Bill told a story about something happened to somebody, and he kept on asking, why God, why God, why God? Did Bill share this? And he goes, I understand. And God goes, how did you feel, God? God looked at him and says, I felt the same way. I watched my son get crucified.
Right.
So that love, even though we don't understand why, he's given us this earth, but he's still feeling the same way as his son.
Well, the cross is the ultimate love.
Yeah.
Okay. And so you go back into love is sacrificial, self-sharing, self-giving. It is the desire of the best of another, even at one's own expense. That's love.
Yeah, one's own expense is probably the key there.
Yeah, but you know, we all want to be like Jesus, but we don't want to be hanging on no cross for nobody.
Yeah. Nor do we want to lose what we think we own.
Yes, because the problem is if we're truly wrapped up in God, we understand those principles is always a principle of increase. Because love never fails.
Never.
You think that's what separates sons from orphans?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, that mindset that he's sovereign and
separate what?
Separate sons from orphans.
And I think, listen, I've been walking this long enough. I think I'm pretty good where I'm at. And in the last 2 months, I realize I still have some orphan tendencies. Mm-hmm. And I, like right now, my wife's a little upset with me because the bell has rung and I'm in a boxing match. The bell has rung and I'm in a business growth mode. The bell has rung and I'm in a church replant, basically. The bell has rung and basically I said, hey, I'm a grinder. That's my mentality. I'm a grinder. I'm a visionary. I'm a generational visionary. And I'm an entrepreneur. And the bell has rung. And she told me this morning, she goes, you do know I'm not going to try to run with you. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to run with you. Not, I'll be part of it, but I'm not running. You're crazy.
At least she knows who she is in that.
Yeah. I mean, because
she knows you'll still love her when she doesn't want to do some of those things.
But just let me know what you're doing. If I want to come, I'll come. But I can't put the demand that I put on myself on her. Mm-mm. She can't do three different things at once.
Right.
And have a brain.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And love me.
Right.
That's four different things at once.
Yeah.
So life standard is love. I love that picture right there. Jesus, give me self-control. And that's the line of Judah holding my tail.
That's cute.
That's a picture of what you said of Jack Taylor.
Yeah.
He's telling you to lean back.
Yeah, that's if you can't love by your standards, you can't live by it either. Mm-hmm. That is a quote God gave me 19 years ago. Mm-hmm. When he put a love in my heart that I never had. If you cannot love by your standard, mm-hmm. you can't live by it either. Listen, you need to understand that statement.
Yep.
What kind of standard? I have a standard that you should read your Bible every day. Giant mm-hmm. print, red letter edition, the whole nine yards. And if you can't live by that standard, then I don't want to be around you. I was almost that bad for a while. Mm-hmm. You want to run with me? You got to do it my way.
Yeah.
Okay? What is acceptable between me and God may not be acceptable, you know, may be acceptable between you. The standard God put me on is not the standard I should apply to you. This is a personal relationship.
That's
what
right.
God tells me would be sin, you get away with. Mm-hmm. Why am I mad?
True.
Why am I mad? Because you get to go do something that God won't allow me to. Because now I'm taking the personal relationship out of it mm-hmm. and not listening to love. And now the love standard that I have with God, I'm angry because you're getting away with something.
That's that first, when he took him into the field first,
mm-hmm.
and then he went back at lunch, and then he went back at the last hour. Mm-hmm. Why are we all getting paid the same thing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hey, it's my kingdom. I can do whatever I want.
And we get jealous.
Right.
Jealous.
We think we're entitled.
Yeah.
Different.
1 John chapter 4, verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Mm-hmm. Listen, fear. I have battled fear. I think I spoke about that the other day.
Mm-hmm.
I've battled fear because I am now taking back territories that I have not been willing to engage in a while. So fear comes in to shut down, destroy, torment.
Yeah.
Well, you have to turn fear into a positive trigger.
Oh, yeah.
Of expansion.
Yeah.
If fear is telling you no, it knows
that you're
the demonic realm has heard what God has said he's going to give you. You haven't heard it yet.
Yeah.
Come on.
So fear is trying
That's
to
good.
Say, don't do that. Why? Because fear doesn't want to lose its territory.
Right.
So we need to turn fear into a positive trigger of expansion.
Yeah, that's right.
That's really
just
good.
Just like the fear of the Lord.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Mm. You yield. You turn to him. The fear of listen. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you're lacking wisdom and you don't fear Him, that's why.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a different type of fear.
Well, it's a reverent fear.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
you can't throw out all fear.
No. All right. Let me back up. Demonic fear is wanting you to worship your flesh and your ego
yes.
and your pride and all that. So it's close.
Yeah.
It's just what are you worshiping?
Yeah. That's right. It's an idolatry.
So it's close. And then I'm fine. But when we understand that if the demonic realm sends fear to you, it caught the memo of expansion from God's perspective and it's trying to entangle you to believe a lie. Oh, you can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get that job. You won't get that promotion. You can get it, dude. And I mean, I read my Jason's text this morning. His 5-year plan is for Wells Fargo to give him $20 million, build a building, do this. I'm like, oh my God, I've raised a dreamer, and I'm struggling with my own dream. It's behind me, isn't it? You see that picture? I love that. That's what fear does. See, the enemy, we sit there and we think the enemy's behind us. And, oh! Listen, if it's behind you, don't stop.
Yeah, right. Keep moving.
See, that's the thing. Fear wants you to turn around and look and stop your progression of what God's telling you to go do.
That's like, well, that's one of God's.
I love this. I cheated on my fears, broke up with my doubts, got engaged to my faith, and now I'm married to my dreams. What is love? God is love. 1 John 4:8. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love.
Yes.
Verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. He who abides in love abides in God. You can take that to John 15, the branches.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him.
Mm-hmm. Do you believe that known and believe, those two things, those two processes, that's the power behind it all?
Yeah, but the problem is we talk it, but we don't know it, and
right.
Therefore we can't believe it.
Right.
You know, how can you believe
right.
something you don't know?
Right.
Susie, do you believe me? I know you in that area.
But that's part of that fear of expansion.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's where faith comes in. Mm-hmm. You don't have to know everything.
Yeah. Well, because we base a lot of our things on experience instead of trusting.
Instead of trusting.
This is a powerful statement. Hate is what love is not. That's a black and white, right and wrong, godly godly versus ungodly. Hate versus love. Hate is what love is not.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you hate me because you confront me. You hate me because you don't. No, I love you, and I believe that this is what needs to change in your life.
Yeah.
Don't tell me I hate you because I won't give you drug money.
Right. Mm-hmm. I love you enough to
not do it.
Or to confront you.
You know, I had a person who couldn't pay their rent, and I went and paid their rent. And thought God was so happy with me. I woke up the next morning, aren't you so pleased? When he goes, no, you screwed up this man's life for 7.5 years. 7 to 8 years before I get him in the same position to hear my voice. What? I didn't tell you to pay his rent. He's in that predicament because he won't listen to me. And now that you've given him an escape and you've validated his disobedience, he'll never get over the issue and become self-sufficient. Appreciate that, Chucky. But Lord, I thought I was loving him. He goes, if I'm love, you're not. You need to follow my voice.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, whose money did you give away? Yours or mine?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's a good check. In a relationship, what I'm hearing is that there's no room for like.
Mm-hmm. No, like is too surface. Like is going, oh, I like the way you dress. I like the way you look. Instead of going, I see God in you, and I'm choosing to love you.
Right.
Now we got to figure out what.
Even if I don't like your dress.
Yeah.
There's different levels of love.
Like an acquaintance you just meet or pass by the, you know, you don't have to necessarily have an opinion, but other than to understand that they all belong in the kingdom.
Well, see, I think the word opinion, especially, I'll never forget, the Lord said to me, I want you to go to this meeting over there at this house church. I'm like, I don't want to go there. He goes, I need a prophet. I need someone that will speak my voice. I'm like, really? I'll tell you what to do, blah, blah, blah. So I show up. There's some people there, and I'm looking across the room, and about half the people I don't even like. Half the people I know some of their stupid stuff. And the Holy Spirit says to me, hey, I got a word for this one. I'm like, okay. I want you to say this. I'm like, nah, I'm not saying that. Lord says, I sent you here to be my voice. Now prophesy over this man. So I did. I prophesied everything good, everything great. I prophesied how I didn't believe anything I said. I know the guy, don't like the guy, wouldn't trust him with nothing. And that isn't what God told me to say. And I was mad. Got on the car, I was mad. He goes, why are you mad? I said, I don't believe any of that. He says, yep, a prophet with an opinion will never be used by me again. Those were my words, not yours. Mm-hmm. Do you want me to use you? Yeah. Lose your opinion.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
So the problem is if God is love, and if God is love, and he says, go prophesy hope into this one who looks hopeless. Go prophesy destiny in this one who knows no destiny. Go prophesy holiness in someone who's living unholy. Go prophesy righteousness when there's everything they're doing is right. God says, I love enough to speak a destiny and give them another opportunity. Yeah. Who are you to tell me I can't love?
Right. Or get in the way.
Or get in the way of my love. Absolutely. Definition of love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It didn't say it was nice. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. Now, there's the nice part. Okay? So you can handle not being rude is being nice. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. Always protects? Even when they've done you wrong? Even when they didn't do it right? It always protects. It always trusts? Wait a minute. How many have trust issues?
Yeah,
we're getting better, but
yeah.
You know what? I thought I trusted, and the thing is, as we mature, we do trust. We trust a lot more than we used to, and we really start. But then he wants to treat us like he did Jesus, and put you on the cross for somebody else, and we quit trusting him that he's going to resurrect us. Do you trust me? No, I've watched you sacrifice me before.
And it hurt, and I don't want it again.
No, Lord, I did what you told me to do, and look at the outcome of that. And then I mature. Back to the same question. Well, yeah, 13 years later, you proved that was you. He says, you know, your lack of trust in me expanded what should have taken just a few years into 13. Mm-hmm. Your lack of trusting me that I was asking you to be sacrificed in that region, in that church, he says, made it 13 years instead of 3. So my lack of trusting God when he chooses to ask me to sacrifice my opinion, sacrifice my ministry, sacrifice my reputation, because we don't trust him that he is love, and that he really isn't loving us because we have our identity in something else other than him. Is that good or what?
Yes. Yeah.
I think I needed to preach to myself this morning. It says love always hopes. Always hopes of what? That you'll catch what he's doing. And attach yourself to love.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping. Karen, I said something really rough to you last week, and I know you're angry with me. I know that, but I'm hoping you'll catch that. I'm hoping that we'll come to, I'm hoping that God's love will come, even though I might have twisted it with a personality. I'm hoping that God, dude, that's what hope does. Love always hopes that you'll find love. Love always perseveres.
Person,
yeah. Oh, so when you want to quit, you're not walking in love. Are you telling me love makes me strong?
Yeah.
Because if love doesn't make me strong, how can I persevere?
That's right. Well, you have to be tough to love at that level.
Ha! Jesus, help me.
Mm-hmm. You have to be tough.
You know, when we had a family crisis with my oldest son, and I was the headhunter, and his drug issues was destroying our family. And I loved him, but I couldn't help him anymore. And I saw it coming about. And I said to God, I said, God, have I always got to be the hammer? He goes, no, but you've never let anybody else.
Wow.
And so within a 3-week period, he came home late one night, stoned. And his mother sat down with him. She says, I love you, but you cannot live here any longer. I will not allow you to destroy this family, destroy this marriage. And I love you. This is the little baby that I had rejected. She birthed out of wedlock. She believed in. This was the little one. She said, God, I love you. But I will not let you destroy this. Mm-hmm. And when he had his come to Jesus moment, he reverts back to the fact, if it would have come from me, he would have been angry.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But he came from the one that he knew loved him the most.
Mm-hmm.
And she set a standard that brought deliverance and healing.
That was loving by a standard he couldn't meet.
Yes.
So in a way, it's a conflict to the original statement, if I can't love you by my standards, I need to lower my standards. But she didn't do that. But again, that was for love for him, and I know that. But
the interesting thing is that when Jason had his crash,
he knew where to come.
He knew to come to me.
Mm-hmm.
For his help and his deliverance. He's never gone back and done. But love had to execute the judgment.
Yeah.
And then God had enough love in me, and he had enough for him to come for me to do the deliverance. Why? Because love never fails.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for joining us today at Kingdom School.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You may also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read from the Bible, take notes, connect with us on the social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church.